Joining me now for the March edition of Our Town is Chief Tom Turner and Commander John Pitcher, who are with the Florence Police Department, obviously. And gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
Actually, very well. Yeah. Very well. It's definitely been a long haul for everybody, including ourselves. But we've done, I think, overall pretty well. We're working on it.
A couple of weird things have happened because of COVID-19. And one of the things I can think of, because I'm having to deal with it directly, is last May, I bought a motorcycle and I haven't been able to get it registered yet. And I'm like, how do you guys know? You know, I mean, obviously you're not doing any specific stops when you see a tag out, but I guess you still kind of look at it to see if there might be something else going on with that?
Sure. The DMV gives notifications to us about what they're up, you know, what they're dealing with and what they can and cannot get to. They are starting to catch up with registrations. But still, there's lots out there. So I think we're well aware of that. And John would be the expert on that.
Right. We're not giving citations if you didn't register during this COVID time. Officers can still stop for it. And if they learn that you've had this violation going on for a couple of years, you'll probably get a citation. But anything during this time, DMV's asked us not to enforce those statutes, and we're not.
But does this interfere with potential police work? I mean, because of the fact that somebody might be, you know, and have other violations against them?
It's definitely a challenge for the officers right now. For one thing, we're trying to protect ourselves, and we're trying to protect for the officers to protect themselves. So we're not doing as much traffic as we were before. We're telling the officers to make stops that need to be made because we don't want the roads to become unsafe, and we definitely don't want Highway 101 to become a racetrack. So, you know, we're doing what we can in these times. Officers are still doing a pretty good job, but it is a challenge.
How has it been on the officers themselves? I mean, because obviously, I know first responders, I know the hospital workers, they have a limited crew, but they've been seeing a lot of patients. They've been going through a lot with this COVID. My wife works for the hospital, and she says, you know, they were started with this, with PPE, then they added this, then they added masks. Now they've got little buttons on their shirt that tell them when they've been sanitized or sanitized their hands. So it's like they're compounding things on top because of COVID-19. Are you guys seeing anything like that?
I think we have a little bit of wear as far as, you know, it's an issue that we have to deal with. Everything from PPE to, like you say, keeping yourself safe. The thing that's been difficult for the officers, I think, a lot of times is that nothing's really changed as far as our work. I mean, we do the same calls. We go out in the same stuff. You know, we're not at home. You know, it isn't like a lot of professions, except that you add this extra element in there of staying safe all the time. So it does get old and it does get wearing. And it is a little bit more intense when you're dealing with somebody that, say, is spitting or yelling or you're having to grapple with or deal with, because it is a little bit more of a threat and something more to think about. We certainly have to think about in our correctional facility. And moving people around because it simply isn't the same. So I think it's getting old, but you know, people have adapted. Everybody kind of adapts to the central corridor theme of, you know, the safety corridor that we've set up at the Justice Center, and you get kind of used to it. I think people are. John and I were talking about it the other day. I think we have less sickness than we used to at any time. Because people are keeping their hands clean and they're being cleaner and safer and keeping their hygiene up to a completely different level, and so is everybody else.
Right.
And
they're not going out in groups of other people.
Yeah,
it just
keeps a huge benefit, I think, to us that's kind of hidden. However, we still have to be out there, and I think that gets old on the officers.
This last year, John, had to be the perfect storm. I mean, with everything that was going on politically, people in the streets, you know, getting a little bit antsy, the COVID thing, shutting down restaurants, people staying open, responding to OSHA complaints and things like that. Are you glad 2021's here, even though we're not seeing a change in the COVID?
Yeah, we were really happy to see 2020 go away. It's been a trying time on the officers, especially with the national overall opinion towards law enforcement. But I got to say, our support within this community has been outstanding, and the officers feel that we've earned it, and we don't want to lose it. But it makes a difference when you have our type of support and you see other areas that don't have that support. This is a tough job to do no matter what, and if you don't have your community support, it's almost impossible.
But isn't that kind of the way small communities are, Chief? I mean, for the most part, you know, we know you know mm-hmm. us, mm-hmm. so you don't tend to get that largely negative from the greater population. You may still have a few there that, you know, that kind of...
I think there's some truth to that. I think the numbers, like you say, is what creates that. So a larger metropolitan area, you might have more divergent views. You're also going to have more of a potentially more of an us and them kind of mentality, whereas, you know, we truly are part of the citizens of this community. So it doesn't, kind of like I was saying about the work in general not changing, our position doesn't really change. So if we're at Fred Meyer, we're still known as the police officer that, you know, somebody knows. And we're known within the community and our kids are in the community. So I think that helps. But on that same thing, or along that same line, there are communities that don't have anywhere near the level of trust and unity, you know, with the police at all. And so we've worked really hard to bring that up. And we're going to keep working hard to keep it up, but it's tough to do in any community. But it has been kind of a natural thing here, which is nice because Florence Police has done a nice job for a long time. We're the police department, whereas other communities, the strife that gets started, we just luckily haven't had the some of the events and some of the political tension and, you know, tipping points that some places have where the police had no choice, and it just becomes this, you know, a lot of times highly politicized, highly difficult situation to work through.
And even when you see people on both sides of the political spectrum, yeah. It tends to be a more tame atmosphere, and people might get on social media and get upset, but they're really not gonna, you know, go out there and do that extra thing. How about the last year? I mean, we hear about domestic violence being having a more impact on our society in general. Has that been something that we've seen here in Florence as well? Have the calls been there? Been more calls in that area over the last year?
I would say that domestic violence overall, our calls have probably been up. I don't know the exact numbers. But yeah, I think the officers are seeing that more and more. You have people stuck in home a lot, and everybody wears on their partner a lot when you don't get anybody else and you're always in there. So we are seeing an uptick in that.
Are you having to field calls from outside the area, like helping out Lane County and stuff?
We have always done that, and we won't be the primary on calls outside the city of Florence, but we go as backup and cover all the time, and we've always done that. So that's not changed.
And if my understanding is that if there is imminent danger or something, you guys might be the first on scene if necessary.
Yeah, if there's somebody's life's in danger, we're going to go. We'll be the first ones out there. I'm talking about normal calls. Mm-hmm. We won't be primary. But, yeah, if there's a threat to life, we'll be the first ones out.
What are some of the other difficult things that have happened this past year that you guys have had to adjust to? Can you think of anything that kind of pops out?
Well, one of the ones that strikes me that we have is kind of on the top of the agenda a lot of times is the unhoused and the homeless population, how it increases and decreases and fluctuates through the course of the year. That's everywhere. But everywhere, once again, there's been an increase in the numbers. And we are kind of anticipating that it could potentially get worse as the weather gets better and the summer starts coming in. I think a lot of people are facing hardships that they never faced before that may be the outcome of the pandemic and how, you know, financial resources and housing, everything got changed. It could become more critical and more difficult to deal with. And so we're trying to get ahead of that. We're trying to be, you know, as understanding to the issues and trying to get pieces together. There's been a lot of law changes as well, and legal cases that have changed how a lot of cities are able to deal with anything. And so we're being really cognizant of those and trying to do the best we can and trying to be, you know, as human as we can, realizing that this is a problem that is going to stay. It's just a matter of how do we work within that and try to keep the communication open and keep people informed as to what's going on, and, you know, how we're moving through that. It's just it's definitely a visual that's tough for a lot of citizens because we get a lot of calls about it. And people have to realize there's a lot of things that really can't be done by law enforcement and that aren't our societal, so to speak, problem to deal with. But it is difficult. And our goal is to keep people safe and to try to keep people's rights protected and make sure that we're doing the best job that we can.
And again, you know, I'm sure most people understand that your job is to enforce the law, not to have an opinion necessarily on the law. Yeah. And that brings me to the decriminalization of drugs, certain drugs over this past year.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to give a personal opinion on that, but I mean, certainly the laws are changed now and you don't necessarily have the tools that you did before for minor possessions.
Right. Ballot measure 110. It's frustrating for police. We can't lie about that. We'll abide by the law, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll do what we're supposed to do. But just because it's now become decriminalized doesn't mean it's still not at the core of a lot of other crimes we deal with. Thefts and disorderly conducts and burglaries. At the core of those, there's drugs. And that's why they're doing them. And just because they're decriminalized doesn't mean they're free. So those things are still going to be there. And I've always said that most people won't change until they hit rock bottom, and we're kind of rock bottom. And now that's probably not going to happen with some of these people.
Well, and not only that, you think of the systemic problem that's out there, and you go, well, you know, he may have had a minute amount of heroin or cocaine or whatever it was, but somebody got that to him. There's somebody else out there that's got a whole bunch more that's doling this stuff out. So you still have to be vigilant when it comes to that.
Right, because delivery is still a felony. That's not been decriminalized. It makes it more difficult to work those cases because we're talking about a violation if you catch somebody with a small amount. And when I talk about a small amount, 2 grams of methamphetamine is more than a normal user will use at one time. Mm-hmm. It's still a decent amount. But to get that, to work that beyond, to try to get the delivery, to try to get the bigger person, is going to become more difficult.
Yeah, because you can't go to that person and say, you know, we caught you with this. You know, if you give up this other guy, maybe the DA will make a deal with you. Now, that's not going to happen.
No, they get a $100 ticket, and if they go through the assessment like they're supposed to, that may get waived. So there's not a lot of incentive for anybody to help get the bigger person.
And then they might have to rob an extra house to pay the $100 fine.
Correct.
I mean, it just compiles on after that. I mean, I'm always interested in, have you guys gotten any new toys? I knew you had a new vehicle that you guys were looking forward to get.
Oh, my gosh. We got one of our SUVs is a hybrid. And John and I got to drive it the other day. It's just absolutely beautiful. It's a very, very cool, incredibly high-performing. We're just pleased with it all the way around. And it's got a great look to it as well. It's just it's a little squatter than the other SUVs. And
it's still a Ford, though? Is it a Ford?
Still a Ford. And Ford is about the only manufacturer that's making – there's other makers, but Ford is predominant in the market. Mm-hmm. And with that comes the price, because that's usually ones that you get cheapest. And we, of course, have to look at that. You know, our cost is a big deal. But the hybrid brings in some potential on gas savings and fuel savings. It's saving all sorts of aspects of it. It's just cleaner. And so we're really looking forward to it. We have a hybrid car in our fleet that's just a
school car,
we call it. For people who travel.
Is that the one that's wrapped?
No.
What's another one?
This is one for us to go to training. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's an unmarked car.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's out-of-city travel, that kind of thing. And we've been really pleased with that. And so we're really excited about this car. This will be a nice addition to our fleet.
And Ford actually gave an incentive for departments to buy the hybrid. So we actually got it cheaper than what a gas one would have been.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
And if this works out, we can start, you know, cleaning up our fleet, so to speak, plus saving gas. It's just it's kind of a win-win. It's a neat feel, and it's we're really interested to see how the officers respond to it. It's just getting outfitted, so it's not quite ready.
All right, one other thing, because I think we pretty much hit everything, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the grant, the USDA grant that the city looked at accepting for increasing the radio coverage. Have you guys noticed some spotty things when you're out covering for Lane County and stuff like that?
Yeah, the coverage in our area has always been difficult. There's places within town that the coverage isn't great, and then you get outside of town, it gets worse. And for fire and ambulance, that's a huge deal. And what we have out there is at end of life. We can't get replacement parts anymore. So if that fails, we're in a lot of trouble. So that's why the agencies went together, us, Sioux Slide Valley Fire and Westland Ambulance, and we're going to replace those repeaters and possibly look at doing something on a Glenada. Our provider or vendor just talked about that a little bit. We'll look at it and see if we can afford it. And ambulance and fire is probably going to look at it as well.
That'd be good. That'd be good for everybody.
Oh, yeah. That was just a huge assistance to get this grant, to be able to get this thing rolling. Very good. It's all that equipment is so expensive. And unfortunately, it does have a shelf life. And ours is definitely, as John had said, end of life, which is nearly 20 years. I mean, it's a long life, but it's the coast is rough on all that stuff. It tears up electronics pretty easily with the weather.
Well, I would say go to the water company and get some of the money they take in every month to pay for that. But, you know, I'm sure Mike wouldn't appreciate me doing that. You know, while I have you both here, you know, I've never had to use your services, thankfully. But I know that myself, like many others in the community, appreciate the grind that you guys go through and ladies go through on a day-to-day basis. So we appreciate you. Thank you so much for the work you do. You know what? It's in our hearts that you guys are out there and ladies are out there doing this. So we appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Coming up next hour, Althea Rizzo with the Office of Emergency Management. We got Mr. Chuck Trent and Sam Johnson on this edition of Howard Town.